Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome back to part two of a man baggage discussion about stress. God damn it. I'm doing this on Zoom. It's doing my head in. I'm joined by Melvin Adoom and Chloe Maidley. So talk me through, Melvin. You've had one of your stressful days. Your cup's brimming. The meniscus looks like it could break over the rim of the cup at any moment. It's still the only word I remember from science and I love it. I'm keeping it. How do you de-stress? I'll go first. I love a shit film. I'm straight for the Liam Neeson. There's one at the moment where he has to drive over a lake without a lorry falling through ice. There's a good one with Michael Jordan, not the basketball player, the actor, where his wife gets shot through the head at the top and then he goes and kills everyone with a gun. I mean, that's why I like popcorn, action movie, bottle of wine, maybe a cheeky gummy now and again if it's been a really bad day. And I just sit there and I come back down. Quite simple things, really. Holiday, there's nothing major, but how do you've come in, you've had a real full cup day. Talk me through a Melvin Adoom touchdown.
For me, it's just Melvin time. I just need time for myself. And that can mean so many things. It can mean me doing a Chloe and going to the gym and just like going at it. It could mean going for a run. You guys obviously know that music is my world. In every room in my house, there's a speaker somewhere. Like, music is part of my life. Like, when I had a shower this morning, even if I hear 3 songs, it will help me through my day. And I DJ. If I'm really, really kind of like down or stressed, then I'll just, even if I'm DJing to myself, I'll just spin some music. And I can be there for hours. But yeah, and my little sister is I call her the angel of the family because she can find the positive in everything. No matter how negative it is, she finds the positive. So if I need like a pick-me-up, then I'll call my sister. She always has me.
It's interesting listening to that, though, because a lot of Melvin time stuff was active, relaxing, but active. You went to the gym, you went on the decks, whereas mine was very passive. So I go to the gym. I really struggle to do a night workout. I try to do exercise every day. I mostly do, but I love I get up late because of what I do, but say today by 10 a.m., once I've got a triple espresso in me, I'm not in there unwinding. I'm in there winding up for the day. I come out, you know, like First Blood, Frank Grillo, whoever you
are. But you know what? When I'm in the gym, it's not the gym part that makes me feel better. It's afterwards. I can only relate it, and I don't know if anyone else, maybe people listening will feel like this. I can only connect it to going to church. When I'm actually at church, I'm like, okay, I'm here and I'm listening to the sermon and stuff. But when I come out, I feel so good afterwards. And that's how it is when I go to the gym. Like afterwards, I feel so much better. And so, yeah, if I'm feeling a funny way and if I'm feeling really shit that week, I have to go to the gym.
I don't go to church, but I mean, as soon as I go to San Antonio, Ibiza, I have a similar religious
spirit. Right?
No, that's your religion, bro.
Yeah, but do you see what I mean, Chloe? I have to do nothing to come down. Maybe it's because I'm like meerkat on amphetamine throughout the day, that all of my unwind stuff, eating with a laptop, with a Netflix special in silence with a glass of water is heaven. I'm never bored or lonely on tour because after running around like Lee Evans on crack for 2 hours, I get, you know, like the little foot towel from the hotel. I put that on the bed. My takeaway cartons are out with all my different curries. Heaven on earth. I don't do jigsaws, even though I'm sure the feeling after the jigsaw is the same theory as the feeling after the gym. even reading sometimes, I go into stillness. And after my stillness, I get the buzz that Melvin's talking about. So what do you do to de-stress? Do you do like sort of a light tricep extension or something?
Tries for the guys, pals for the girls. I completely agree with you, Russell. I think it depends on the time of day. And that is obviously largely because stress is a reaction as well to hormonal fluctuations. So it may, and your hormonal fluctuations will change because of your body clock, your circadian rhythm, throughout the course of the day, which means that things that will make you feel good at in the morning at 7 a.m. aren't going to be the things that are going to make you feel good when, you know, you're starting your melatonin starting to kick in and you want to come down.
Sorry to interrupt you, Flo, but would you say that's more extreme for women than men, this hormonal disruption, or is that just a lazy story? Because ladies are like, no. I'm ovulating and now I'm not finished ovulating, I'm about to have my period. Now I've finished having my period, I'm ovulating. So you've just been in a bad mood the whole month then, is that what you're saying?
No, I think there is definitely a week, and it's usually the week pre-menstruating, where women do really struggle in terms of mood, hunger, sleep, even like thermogenesis, the whole thing. Like it's intense. And I really feel for women in that. And I'm obviously a woman, so I understand. Although I don't even get premenstrual that badly, but some of my clients, they can't get out of bed for a week. So that's fair. But I mean more in terms of like stress management throughout the day. So like, you know, I'll get up in the morning and the first thing, your body is flooded with cortisol when you wake up. The first thing I want to do is get in the gym, train, and like you say, wind myself up. And that is like stress management in a way. And then at night, 100% I'm like you, in that it doesn't really suit me doing what I do, because all I want to do is eat food and drink wine and chill the fuck out. And that to me is absolutely like the thing I need to do before I go to bed. And yeah, it just depends on the time.
If I had to send you both away for 3 days on holiday, Chloe, you're going, where? What is your de-stress holiday? Is it backpack on, exploring the side streets of Venice, finding a hidden eatery in your scruffy clothes, or is it all-inclusive band, Maldives, pile of books, I'm not going to move?
Yeah, I mean, it depends when I book it, but it's either going to be a beach bum, I'm just going to get drunk all day, every day on the sand holiday, or it's an Ibiza, like I'm going to be in the toilets of Pasha, raving until closing time. And it literally depends on the day you catch me on. Like Melvin was talking about music. If I'm listening to music like, and I'm like in that headspace and someone's like, should we book a holiday? I'm like, fucking Ibiza, let's have it. But if it's like I'm really stressed with work and I'm kind of tearing, someone's like, oh, let's book a holiday. I'm like, I need a beach.
Melvin, all-inclusive band with a little waiter checking in. You put a flag up on your sunbed, he runs across, do you need another cocktail? Or are you more, you know, Machu Picchu? Oh my God, we've seen some Peruvian ruins. Let's go. Come on, Ricky.
No, you know what? I hate sightseeing.
I'm sure you don't go on holiday with Ricky, but in my head.
I always follow Ricky. You know what? It's mad you guys have both mentioned Ibiza, because I actually think that's the one place you can do everything.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? A lot of people don't know. You can go to Ibiza and there's like yoga retreats. There's place with like a massive place with like an infinity pool. You can go to like beaches. You can go to the club. You can go to wicked restaurants. So Ibiza is probably the best place to do everything. And I think for me, the best de-stressing holiday is a place where I can do everything. Because after a while, I'll get bored. If it's just like chill, I get bored. If it's just clubs, then I get tired. I want to do a bit of everything.
See, and that's the surprising thing about me. I've done 7, 10 nights. I've got 10 nights in St. Lucia praying it comes off this year. I'll cancel about 8 holiday. I know I won't get bored. Do I?
Really?
What about leaving the resort and seeing the island? How about fucking not?
Yeah.
How about fucking not? By day one, I'm best mates with whoever is at the bar. It's like we've grown up together on St. Lucia. Yeah. And that is where I will be, or I'll be sunbathing, or me and my daughter will be off walking and exploring. Happy. It does not fit with my personality. It surprises me about myself. I'm so easily bored when I'm not on holiday.
But you know what it is? It's because it's the opposite of what you do.
Maybe.
Do you mean? And it's weird because we all love our jobs. So I think our jobs actually keep us at a really good level and it keeps us quite happy. So sometimes you've got to do the opposite to make you even happier, if that makes sense. So
yeah.
Russ is always on one. He's always running around. Mate. He's always busy. So sometimes his chill is to chill. Chloe, you're always in the flipping gym. You're always eating well. So your chill is to have a glass of wine and pig out. That's your chill.
True.
Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So you do the opposite of what you do.
Melvin smashed
it. Very true. But it's also fair to say, I think, I say this all the time because I think in my industry, it's so contentious, especially being a woman and talking about dieting, God forbid. I'm like, we've forgotten there's a spectrum of character. You have extroverts like my dad, who are like, go, 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 go. You have introverts like my mum who are like, no, no, fuck off, leave me alone. And then you have ambiverts. And I think Russell, yeah, you are. And I am too. I think we have flashes where we're like, boom. And then long periods of time where I'm like, nobody talk to me.
I love being on my own. I've never, ever experienced loneliness. I've only experienced solitude.
Same.
Wow. And solitude, there's a big difference. They're the same thing physically. I'm in a basement flat here. I've been here for 5 nights. I adore my daughter. I worship the ground she walks on. She's 5 and I FaceTime her all the time. But when I hang up the FaceTime, am I here going, I wish I was at home? I'm loving life.
I'm the same.
Looking at the Deliveroo menu at 3 p.m, having a frisson of excitement about being on my own with it at 11 p.m. that night.
I'm the same. I'm the exact same way. I love that.
Surprising ambivert. So let's talk about different types of stress. Financial stress. Now, the business we're in, I don't care how well the three of us are doing at the moment, it fucking stalks us like a monster in this business. One wrong tweet, one wrong foot, you're suddenly just not the flavour of the month anymore. We know what's coming down the fucking road for us. Do you think we're all going to be sat on a podcast when we're 80, still repping it? Come on. So there's going to be financial concerns at one point. Now, this is massive. This is a killer stress for many people, men, women, literally suicide, heart attack. How do you deal with one of the worst types of stresses? And if you're in a position where you don't have to worry about money at the moment, you still have to plan and mortgages and things can overwhelm you. What are you like with money and financial stress? Because it's a big one, Melvin.
This is a tough one, you know, bro, because first lockdown was like the first time I was worried because gigs stopped and I didn't realize how much like DJing I did of a year. And obviously The tax man don't stop taking his money. Do you know what I mean? And like, I try and take care of my family. Like I try and take care of my mum. I make sure she's always got money every single week. I try and take care of my little sister, even though she's in her 30s. So I feel like there's people depending on me. So when that stopped and when TV stopped, and thank God I had Radio 1 because I don't know what I would have done. It did feel like quite a scary moment. And this is going to sound really, really weird, but I think it's about focusing on the shit you do have. Like, my mum's here. She's cool. Like, she's well. I've got an amazing family. I've got an amazing unit of friends. I've got people like yourselves who still want to speak to me. I've got our listeners who will tune in every single day to Radio 1. So I think it's about focusing on what you do have. But I'll be honest with you, that financial thing is stressful, man. It's a real stress, and it's hard not to think about it.
But don't you think when you've grown up, I'm assuming you grew up working class. I shouldn't make that assumption.
Yeah,
you
yeah,
said
yeah.
Single parent. So
yeah, yeah.
Like, we weren't like poor or anything, but my mum was a cleaner. My dad was in manual labour. We certainly weren't rich. So you're brought up with an air of money might run. I never went hungry. I never had a school uniform that didn't fit, but it was always, it could run out. That's my dad drummed into me from when I had language. I might run out of money, boy. And that stalks you your whole life. I don't care what my bank balance says. It's like there's a monster around the corner going, fucking be careful because I will come for you. My name is poverty.
Well, bro, because you know how it is. Like, if you come from a working class family, like, I know how hard it was for my mum to raise myself and my sister. And so I don't want my kids, when I have kids, to ever have to go through that struggle. I want them to be at the best school. I want them to have the best clothing and to never worry about food or a roof over their head. I want to provide for them. So, yeah, it becomes a worry. And like I said, I'm all about taking care of my family. So if there is an issue, and also I feel like sometimes there's people in my circle who kind of look up to me. So I don't want to ever let them down. It's more to do with letting people down. Mm-hmm. Do you mean? In the second lockdown, bruv, like I love my cars. So I had like a sick car, which was sitting on my drive for the whole of lockdown. And it was pointless me having it.
Yeah.
So I gave it back. I've always had like, I always like lease or have them on finance. So I gave the car back. And giving the car back hurt me. I don't know why. I was like, I don't have a nice car on my drive, but I wasn't using it.
Yeah, it felt wrong. I've got like a 1986 sort of collectible BMW. It's not worth tons of money, but I love it. But it felt morally wrong for it to be there. I just looked at it and thought, what are you doing? You're not bringing anything to this lockdown, no gig party. And I considered getting rid of it. I'm glad I didn't.
It's a weird feeling, man. But like I said, just focus on the things you do have.
So Chloe, when you got so much shit going on, you're running God knows how many businesses, you had a completely different start in life. But in a way, it's its own stressful, because when you've got high profile parents, it's like you've got to fucking strike your own way out in the world. And the way you prove you do that is by doing the numbers. So you must have had your own sort of financial stress, which is, look at me, I'm doing my own thing. And then you've got to manage it all. So how do you respond to that side of things, business and finance stress?
It's really interesting. Well, first of all, I think people don't know about my parents is that it wasn't until I was about 8 or 9 years old that they started making good money. Before that, they had 4 kids, a crippling mortgage, and we didn't have much money to play with. I mean, we had enough, like you said, like we were fine, but there was nothing, there were no big holidays. Like we holidayed in caravans in Cornwall, like that was what we did. And I vividly remember being 9 years old, standing in the checkout line with my dad. I think it wasn't Tesco. I'm sure a lot of people won't get that reference. But standing in the checkout line with my dad. It. Yeah. All the older generation will. Standing in the checkout line with my dad.
I didn't get it.
No, I'm too young for that. So standing in the checkout line with my dad, and it was around Christmas time, and it came to like a big amount, which was like £100, something like that. And I remember him leaning down and whispering in my ear, and I was 9. It's so nice to pay this and not have the fear of God struck into me. Like, I think they were really financially stressed for the first decade of my life, and they hit it really, really well for me. But yeah, and I remember it, and I've seen it. And it's funny what Melvin was saying. And I see this with James too. James's parents also, they grew up kind of living beyond their means, which meant that money was a real struggle. It just maybe didn't look it on the outside, but on the inside, it was hell. And James has talked about this openly, so I'm absolutely not dobbing anyone in. But I think that's because of male pride, which kind of touches on what Melvin was saying about wanting to have nice cars and also wanting to come across and look to your friends like you're really successful, like you've got your shit together, you can have the nice watch and the fancy car. But for me, it's the flip. I don't want to be that girl that relies on her parents for money, because everybody assumes I'm that girl. And so my pride is I never want to have to ask them for money.
But do you find that stressful? Because what I'm talking about, and I think what Mel's talking about, is I do find that stressful. The idea that Poppy's talking, I don't look at Poppy on the corner, and it's not like earlier, and yeah, man, that's my motivation to do well. I don't think I'll ever be able to lose that fear that ultimately I will end up back in the council house I grew up in, sort of just about with enough money. I can't get rid of it. And that's not good stress.
And I know what you mean. And I'm lucky that that level of, okay, that's the worst case scenario, that isn't going to happen to me. And I'm so, so lucky. And
yeah, no, totally, I'm talking about your stress. No, your stress is I'm that people think of me as that girl. That's a horrible stress to carry.
Oh, I mean, the financial stress is like, if anything, it's a driver for me. But yeah, it's horrible meeting people and knowing, I already know what people think the second they look at me. I'm blonde, I've got a stupid high-pitched voice, and my parents are Rich and Judy. And that is a horrible thing that I had to kind of process in my 20s, but I think I'm kind of through now, thank God.
And what was your process? So Melvin's talked helpfully about focusing on what he does have and all the positive things and everything like that. How did you work? What tools did you use? You're talking about prejudice, really, which will take on many forms for a lot of our listeners. They will walk in. I've had it myself. Some of the jobs I've walked into, unless I did a fake accent, I wouldn't get the job.
Yeah.
Because I sound like I'm fucking going to sell you some fruit off a stall.
And you're £1 fish in your Essex accent.
It's a form of prejudice. So what was your tools for dealing with the stress that brought?
Self-worth, creating a life for myself that I was fucking proud of. Because in my 20s, you know, my early 20s, I didn't know what I wanted to do or who I wanted to be. So that crushing pressure of me being Richard and Judy's daughter, which is how it felt internally, nearly destroyed me and led me to getting quite bad anxiety disorder. Yeah, but then doing what I do now, having success in what I do, being passionate about it, and I dare say it, being good at my job, gave me so much self-worth that now I don't really care what people think of me, because I think I'm good. I'm a good egg. I'm happy, and that is how I got through it.
Can I just say I'm really happy for you, Chloe, because I remember years ago doing a pilot for a panel show, and I remember then I thought you were such a wonderful character. I thought the way you communicated was just beautiful. I thought you had an amazing personality. So when I saw you blowing up on the whole fitness thing and your books coming out, I was genuinely like happy for you. So yeah, big up.
That's really touching.
Into a loving, guys. Well, let me throw some more. Let me throw some more stress into this before this gets too cozy.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
There's something we need to talk about. I think that there's a massive gender divide here, but sadly, it's narrowing. And I say sadly in that I always thought naively, by the time we got to 2021, maybe that we would be judging women less for how they looked and they would be coming in. But what's happened is women have stayed at the same level of being judged for their look, and slowly but surely men are rising up to be as equally fucked as them. Who'd have thought feminism, when it failed to get equality for women, could just drag men down? So I want to talk about the stress, Melvin, of how this is a new phenomenon for men. I can remember going on holidays, lads' holidays 10 years ago, and just the lads just whipping their tops off by the pool. I don't remember it being a thing. You never thought about your body before you went on holiday. I never crossed my fucking mind what I looked like. I used to go out with whatever top man shirt I picked off the shelf, wherever it was. I got turned away from Bagleys in King's Cross because I looked too chavvy. Never forget that. So it never was in my mind. I was aware I was working class and didn't have any fashion sense and I didn't have any body shape. I wasn't bothered. I had a beautiful girlfriend. That was life. It ain't like that anymore. Some of my friends, when we go on holiday, it's like, oh, where are we going? Oh, no, yeah, I'll keep my T-shirt on by the pool. These are grown-ass men in their 40s. And I'm like, I have to leave an extra 10 minutes now to go on Instagram to make sure I'm wearing what this Instagram fashion blogger is wearing so that my outfit looks good. This isn't just about body confidence and body fat. This is about men getting stressed about whether they should wear a scoop neck vest under their fucking Ted Baker shirt. Melvin, do you not give a fuck? Or are you as ruined as me?
I definitely care, man. Like, I shouldn't care. But like I said to you earlier, I don't think my looks are my weapon. I think my words are my weapon. I think we're in a day and age now. When you go on dating apps and stuff like that, girls always say, I want a guy who makes me laugh, a guy who makes me smile. So I think my biggest weapon is always my words and my humour. It's not how I look. I try to make sure I look okay as well.
But does it ever stress you? Are you ever, you're looking in the mirror, you're going on a hot date, you never feel stress?
I'm quite a insecurity. Confident guy. I think I'm sexual chocolate, bruv. I have no problems. I think I'm so damn sexy. I put my aftershave on and a nice jacket, I jump in my car and I feel sexy. I never stress about how I look.
Well, I'm sexual chocolate as well. I'm Milky Bar all over me, but yeah.
You're the Milky Bar kid.
I'm the Milky Bar kid.
Right.
It's just dropped from out of space. Because that's where you're going, baby girl. No, that's not the issue. The issue is not my confidence or being sexual chocolate. My issue is I look at that mirror. I was just doing it last night. I'm sending topless selfies to my wife. We've been married for 7 years and I'm waiting for the double tick and reply. There's obviously some level of stress or insecurity there. It's not just about here's something to turn you on. I mean, I'd like to think that was it, but really what's going on there is, please tell me I look nice. That's what's really going on. Let's face it. You don't have any of that.
I think we all get like that. For example, I cannot, and Chloe, I might have to call you afterwards, I cannot budge my belly. Like, I can't get abs. I used to get abs for fun back in the day. Man's in his 40s now. Like, it's not running.
You're eating too much sexual chocolate, mate. That's the issue.
Too much of that sexual chocolate. So I can't, like, that obviously winds me up. But I don't go out, if I meet someone new, I don't go, this is the reason why she's not speaking to me. I don't go, someone's not chatting to me because of, I can't get abs. Do you mean?
But do you recognise that as a new male stress, though? You must have men in your group that are like, oh, God,
none of my boys.
Really?
Like,
I think it's hidden, don't you, Chloe? I think a lot of men get stressed. Okay, let's talk about hair then. hair. I'm fucking derma rolling the shit out of my... I'm trying to hang on to my crown like Prince fucking Andrew here. And I've got like an Elvis hair at the front. So I'm having treatment at the back here to hold... It is very stressful for a man to lose his hair.
It's definitely something James has struggled with for, I mean, the last 10 years of his life. And everyone always makes jokes about it. And I know he's super insecure about it because I would say at least once a week, if not more, he'll say to me, do you think I should get my lid done? So, you know, have the hair,
my
whatever.
Lid.
Plus, yeah, of course, lid.
I love that.
Do you think I should get, he calls it a schlid, shit lid. Do you think I should get my schlid done? And I'm like, no. And I'll tell you what it is. Women, okay, look, we're not blind. Like, we see, like, Zac Efron, we're going to be like, hello, you're really good looking. But at the same time, women don't particularly care about what you look like. We care about how sexy you are. Yeah, like, I want to be on a date with a guy I want to fuck at the end of the night. I don't care if he's got a raging six-pack or not, which is ironic because I married a guy who has perpetual abs, which is maddening. But I don't care. Like, what I think has really driven this home is the sending of pictures. Guys are always sending girls pictures that they fancy or asking for pictures, they really care about appearance. And it is just the way that I think a lot of men are programmed. If I was single, I would not be messaging guys I fancy, like, send me a picture. No, that would never happen. So I think, yeah, men,
you're going to be receiving them anyway, let's face it.
Exactly. Like, I get
what hobbies are you into? And there's his dick. I asked you about your hobbies.
Okay. And, like, nobody wants to see a stranger's penis. Like, no, I don't want to see it. Don't send it. But at the same time, I do think that men and women are wired a bit differently in terms of visuals. But I do see that men are now getting as much shit. And part of me is happy and part of me is sad because it's horrible.
But how do you... So talk me through your stress. You're going out for dinner. You're both going out. How much stress is there before you look in the mirror? Do you experience negative stress and run back and go, I fucking hate this dress, it looked nice when I first tried it? You have all that. I have it a lot for a bloke. I'll go through these trousers and I look fucking shit in that. How can I think I look good? I'm 5'10", why am I not 6'1"? Yeah, I have all of that. But Lindsay obviously has it 100 times more because she's a girl and she knows that's how she's being looked at.
Yeah, you know what? If it's just James and I don't give a shit. I'm fine. We're married. It isn't, nobody's going anywhere. It is what it is. If I know there's going to be loads of other women there, yeah. Like, the thought process of, like, what am I going to wear? Am I going to... Because also, my friends are ridiculously gorgeous, which is just bizarre, but all of them are. And I'm like, I need to kind of somehow be somewhere in the vicinity of them, or I'm going to feel embarrassed. And the irony is that... Well, not the irony. The outcome is that never happens. I always have a great time with all my friends, James, there, the girls, everyone.
That's but what, like, we're learning about stress, is imagining future shit that doesn't happen. I think it was Melvin.
It's imagining it. And ultimately, when you get there, you're going to get, you know, drunk. You're going to hang out with your mates. You're going to have a great night. But yeah, there is this fear of how I look going to be perceived, and it is just your projection of your own insecurities onto other people.
So that's interesting. So we get stressed based on a competition that isn't there for an event you're arriving at. So in that case, Melvin, given that we know that your weapon is your words and your humour and your sexual chocolate, if you're going to an event and you know there's going to be other Melvin-y type charismatic fellas there, do you suddenly get banter stressed in the taxi on the way there?
Bro, exactly that happened. So, and I'll tell you who it is, because you both know him. So you know Mo the comedian?
Yes.
Yes.
So Mo does this, I don't know if he still does it, but he used to do this like live game show, right? And he was amazing. I was a guest on the game show and I came out and I bumped into a girl who I used to date. She was outside on this balcony and I started speaking to her and I was like, "What? Who are you here with?" And she was like, "I'm with Mo." And at that point, I realized I had no chance, because, like, Mo at this point, like, he was doing all these viral stuff, like, absolutely killing it, brand new shows. I can't compete with that. Do you see what I'm saying? And he's
did you experience a stressful feeling, or was it a kind of Buddha, well, it is what it is, where's the next girl? Or was there stress?
It just made me feel a bit depleted, because it just felt like I don't have any cards to play. I can't bust joke. I don't, you know, he's a younger dude. He's like, Mo's a good looking dude as well. He's taller than me. I have no cards to play here. So I was like, just depleted, if I was honest.
But do you ever get that? So this sort of what we're identifying as a more female feeling, which I get, because I'm obviously a girly man. But so I look in the mirror and I get that pre-stress event of stuff that's never going to happen. No one's going to give a shit whether I'm wearing skinny jeans from ASOS or Top Man. But in my head, it's the end of the world. But do you ever look in the mirror and think, oh my God, there's going to be loads of guys there on Top Band tonight. I'm a bit stressed. But what if I turn into a wallflower? Or do you deal with it when you get there?
Do you know what? I think I get that when I'm, if it's in work mode, I sometimes worry about like how I look or how I'm perceived to people if it's in a work kind of setting. So sometimes I might do something and I think, oh, maybe I look too old for this job. Especially when I started at Radio 1, like Radio 1 is a really young station and everyone like on that station is cool. There's no uncool presenters at Radio 1. So when you start, you're like, whoa, like do I
Hang
feel...
Hang on, Greg James is there.
Yeah, there you go.
A lanky cricket fan that likes hanging out with his mum and dad in Norwich or something.
but everyone is just so cool. And so you do worry, like, do I fit in? Like, you do have that kind of worry in your mind. But again, I've always been blessed in that I've had, like, Ricky and Charlie. And so they're, like, my miniature family. So I always feel kind of safe and protective, and they always have my back. So I don't know if I feel it to the level where I would call it stress. I don't know if I'd call it stress.
I don't want to stress the listener out, but we're out of time. I will just say, the one bit of stress you can manage is feeling stress about the fact you're a stressful person. Do not beat yourself up about feeling stress. Some people are genetically predisposed to higher stress levels. You cannot help it. Some people battle with stress more frequently, and some of it boils down to genetics. Your genes produce proteins, which dictate how your body functions. So if you're feeling stressed, try and use some of the tools we've identified today, but ultimately it's like having ginger hair. There's nothing you can do about it. You know, I love ginger people, but you're always going to be ginger unless you do what Ryland is. That's bloody convincing. Well done, Ryland. Anyway, we're out of time. Thank you so much to my guests. Thank you, Melvin Adum, Chloe Madeley. We've been working through stress. If you've enjoyed what you've listened to and you've come here as fans of one of my guests today, please hit subscribe. Hit it nice and hard if you're feeling a bit stressed. Leave a review. If you haven't enjoyed it, you know, vent in words, but don't post it because I'm so close to getting a juicy sponsorship. Thank you very much for listening. Goodbye.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.